Welcome to the Jointery Podcast, a podcast where we study the lives of two dads trying to find the balance between the families, hobbies and work. This week on the Jointery, we discover
Aruba, Jamaica. Ooh, I wanna take it to Bermuda, Bahama.
Let's search for the meaning of life as it has never been witnessed before. The Jointery Podcast.
I'll tell you that my dad said he was going to guilt you, give you guilt for not doing the podcast last week, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, man, I'm like, please don't do that. And he's like, why? I'm like, because I'm like, I don't know what Ben's upbringing was, right? But like, I don't know if he's prepared for Jewish guilt. Like, that's not like a thing that like people like you could prepare people for, right? You know, and to the level that he was ready to go, I felt like he could put you in therapy. So I was like, bro, man, don't fucking do that. I'm like you can't like I'm seeing like a therapist, right? And the therapist is just like, you got problems processing guilt. I'm like, no fucking shit, man. My family was savages with this shit, man. Like it's not like you think it would be. I don't know. Yeah. So anyways, I talked him out of giving you guilt. So, cause I didn't want to use all the Patreon money for your therapy bills. Frank.
Yeah. So it's a little different in our group, house growing up. It wasn't guilt as much as, you know, just like abject, you know, disappointment.
No, I'm like, I don't know what religion Ben might have grown up with. I know we never talk about it, yeah. So I assume he's not very religious, you know, or maybe he's just like a secret, you know, super Christian or something. But you know, I was like, you know, he's not Catholic. I was like, so he's not experienced Catholic guilt, and like Jewish guilt. Like, people compare Catholic guilt and Jewish guilt, and it's completely different. You know, like, Catholics always feel like they're looking for guilt, right? What have I done wrong, you know, in my life?
Yeah.
Whereas Jewish people are like, I've suffered, so I'm going to make you suffer harder, you know? It's like, it's very intense. Like, it's you know, and I bet you even talking about it right now, like, my mom is listening to this thinking, she feels guilty for guilting me, right? She'll guilt me about it later. So, like, it's, I don't know, it's how it is. So
we have more of an Irish grudge holding match at our house. That's how we work it out.
You know, and so. I mean, yeah, and like I get that. Like the Irish grudge is, I know about that. It's a real fucking thing.
Yeah. So
I don't even like potatoes so much.
I'm a potato.
So, anyways, yeah, dude, this was a long week, man. We were on the road all through Ohio for work, and it was a good trip. But like, I, you know, being out of town, man, and like I miss the family, I miss the kids, you know, I like being around, you know. So it was.
Yeah, you guys
just glad to be home.
How was Bubs's birthday? Did that go off without a hitch or what?
Yeah, it was. Oh, man, I don't. I'm trying to like. His birthday was great. He wanted to go to the trampoline park. We went to the trampoline park. And I realized that, like, my move at the trampoline park this year was flawless. Now, that I will say that I hope I never have to throw another fucking trampoline party again, because I think this is, like, my fifth one I've thrown, right, between the two kids.
Yeah.
But this one, I got it right. Whereas, like, my first one, it was a complete disaster.
Did you get on the trampoline yourself?
No. I don't know if my insurance would cover that, you know? Plus, like, I was, you know, I'm always nervous that, like, I'll be on there and then I'll, like, fall and then, like, the kids will just be jumping around next to me and I won't be able to get up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We've been to one trampoline park since Frankie's been born. We used to take Penny to the one down the street from our house when she was really little They had some special going on, but anyways. But we went to this one recently, like not recently, but like, you know, years ago. But since Frankie's been born, but dude, big guys are not meant for trampolines, and they're not meant for ball pits. This trampoline park has a ball pit where you you jump off a trampoline, you bounce, and then you jump off into the ball pit. Dude, I had to ask somebody to help me get out of this ball pit. I could not get myself out.
When was this?
This was like, I don't know, a few years ago, like 4 years ago.
Oh, my God. Did like multiple people have to help you out?
No, one of the guys who works there was luckily he was standing. I could not. It's so deep that like I could not get any leverage to like try and lift myself out of it. You know what I mean? Like these little kids can just walk up and there's like, you know, there's like ropes and little ladders and stuff. And the little kids are just like they float on top of the balls basically. So they just kind of like pull themselves up to these ribs. Like I am submerged neck deep in these balls. Like were your feet
against the ground?
I was on the ground, bro, and I was neck deep in these balls, and I'm trying to pull myself out.
That's not the intro for this podcast, man. I don't know what is. I was neck deep in balls. So like, how'd they get you out?
Luckily, the guy was. He was, you know, a strapping young man, and he was able to reach down and give me some assistance. But, dude, I might have lived there, bro. That might have just been where I lived from that point on.
Like, Danny, I'm just getting comfortable. Can you give me a sandwich? I'll see you guys when you're back here again, I guess.
Yeah, like pre-COVID, like, you know, I mean, honestly, like, this was definitely pre-COVID because they didn't shut down all the ball pits. But can we talk about how disgusting ball pits are, first off? Like,
oh, dude. So gross, bro. Kids pee in those things, man.
So gross, dude. And I'm here sitting there neck deep up, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, this is like, bro, this is like my nightmare, bro. Like, I didn't want to jump in to begin with. And then when I jumped in, I was thinking, oh, okay, it'll come up to my waist. You know what I mean? I'll be able to get myself out of this thing, you know. This is a deep ball pit, bro. Like, deep. I'm like, how is this safe for kids? Like, do you guys lose kids in here? Like, I don't know. It was pretty funny, though.
I'm not going in that ball. Fuck that, man. No way.
Trampolines are fun, though. I grew up on trampolines. Like, when I was in my youth, I could do the whole back flip and the front flip. And, you know, I am an athlete, which, you know, you know that about me.
Yeah, based on that ninja skills you have, I which was so impressive.
Yeah, I brought my I brought my nunchucks to show off on the podcast. No, I was very impressed by these prints. By the way,
thank you.
Not to change subjects, but since you brought it up, Frankie's been carrying these nunchucks around with him like 24/7. He carries them around everywhere.
They're still in one piece. Is incredible.
Dude, these are the best. This is the best print and place blade I've ever had, man. This blade, yeah. I've banged it on numerous things. Look at me, I'm literally tapping on my desk with it, and it did the ones that I printed for the other lightsabers that would have broke in like 2 seconds.
Yeah, I'm proud of it. But yeah, dude, back to the trampoline thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, so my first year that we threw a trampoline party, right? I got the RSVPs for everybody and I bought tickets for everybody, adults, kids, whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. Dude, I got out of there. It was over $1,000. Right.
Oh shit.
And I was like, hey, most of the adults didn't jump. They're like, well, you shouldn't have bought them fucking tickets, dumbass. I was like, well, can I get a refund for some of these adults who just stood there? Yeah, I fucking definitely blew it. And they were like, no, but, you know, if you want, we could call everybody up and ask them to pay individually, you know, for the ones that you paid for. And I was like, I hate you. I'm like, God damn it. Here, so, like, over the next couple years. Yeah.
No, I'm just laughing. It's like, hold on. Let us tell your friends how much of an asshole you are by calling them. Sorry. Hey, you know, Luke's too cheap.
Yeah, your son's friend's dad is too fucking cheap for you. So here you go. That was back like when parents would hang out too when they dropped their kids off, you know, at a party. Now this last one, in contrast, I ordered the minimum order, right?
Yeah.
And I was real nice to the girl the whole time. And then at the end, she's like, I went way over, right? I think I put down 10 kids. I think I had 15 kids. I had like 5 adults jump and they all did like, there's like a go-kart thing you got to pay extra for. Yeah. I said yes to everything, right?
Yeah.
So at the end, I'm like, man, this is going to be like another $300, $400, right? And we're walking up to the register And the lady's like, yeah, we could just pay at the register. And she goes, are you going to tip? And I was like, yeah. Can I tip you directly so you don't have to share it with anybody? I don't know how that works here.
Yeah.
And she just kind of like kind of looked at me. She's like, yeah, I could take cash or Zelle or whatever, you know? I was like, okay, cool. And like the other girls who were working there too, they all knew this. They're all like, oh yeah, like we're not running the tip thing through the place if we have to, right?
Yeah, of course.
I was like, okay, cool. I'll give you a nice tip. So we get up to the register, okay? And so she's like, oh, you got to pay the balance of your room first, right? Mm. Guess how much the balance, okay? To give you a frame of reference, I had 10 people in there, okay? At the, like, they had like four levels of party. I had like the third one, not the fourth one with the go-karting, right?
Yeah,
so I'd upgrade everybody to the fourth level. And I had another five kids plus another three or four adults, right? The initial base cost was $400, okay, for the party. Guess how much the extra charge was from this girl?
After she knew she was tipping you? You were tipping
after
her?
She knew I was going to tip her, yeah.
Oh, okay. Then I think she'd let you skate. 400, like, I think she tagged on another extra 150.
Dude, she tagged on an extra $40.
That's dude, the move. You did the, dude, you basically did the walked up with the money in your palm thing, and you handed it. That's basically what you did, right? That's the move.
Dude, I fucking pulled my wallet out so fast, and I looked in there, and there was actually cash in there this time, and I remembered it was cash I pulled out of my wallet at the weed shop, right? Because I don't normally pay cash for shit. I was like, oh, cool, $100. I'm like, here you go. I'm like, is that good? She's like, oh, yeah, that's great. Thank you. I was like, oh, perfect.
Well, yeah.
She goes, it's always much cheaper to go through me than it is. I love it. You're just deciding your own rates to shit, you know?
That's great, man. That's an entrepreneur right there. She knows what's up.
Dude, if I ran a trampoline joint and my employees weren't skimming money, right? Like, how else are you going to keep them? You're like, you're probably not paying them that well.
Nah, you're not paying them enough to keep them. And not somebody who, like, somebody smart like that, you just kind of, you kind of know, like, oh, she's getting a taste. It's kind of like the mafia, yeah. Right? You know they're getting a taste, but they kick it, they're kicking it upstairs too. But you got to keep them happy by letting them get a little taste as well. You know what I mean? Like that's a little something.
I mean, if I was running this joint, right, I would look to hire people like that, right?
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, look, I got to get my base money. I said, anything you could work out of these people after that, go for it. Because I know, dude, she was so attentive. She was so nice. She brought us like a case of extra water, which I know is not free, right? And like they brought us the water, they brought us extra socks, extra praise. Dude, she was on it the whole time. And that's the people you want to hire.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, because I like the idea of having an employee who's smart enough to work the system in their favor without screwing me. You know what I mean? Like that's good. You know, you want to work it in your favor, that's fine. As long as I get my piece and I'm taken care of.
I pulled the same exact move with the firewood guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy delivers firewood in my house. I got like a quart of firewood. He's like, well, I put extra firewood on the truck if you want to pay me cash for some. I'm like, what's $50 get me? And it was like four times the amount I originally purchased.
Fucking golden, bro. Yeah. That's the way to go.
Look, cash is still king, I guess.
Cash is king, dude, to this day, and it will be forever. I know, dude. that's cool, though. So Bubs had a great time, though. The birthday party went off.
He had a great time, but, like, man, I don't get this kid. I love him. I got to really spend more time trying to understand him because he asked for all these Nerf guns, okay?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, we get home. He's opening them up. He's all excited. And I'm like, yeah, man, we're going to have a Nerf battle. He's like, no, we're not. I'm like, what? You asked for all these Nerf guns. We're going to shoot each other, right? He's like, no. I'm like, what? He goes, I just want to shoot the guns, but I don't want to shoot anybody.
Oh, well.
And I'm like, I'm like, come on, man. We got to fucking battle. Like, what are you talking about? You know? And like, yeah. I'm like, look, I'm like, are you afraid that it hurts? He was like, yeah, it's going to hurt. And I'm like, Ellie, come here. And I shot Ellie like 10 times, you know?
Yeah.
And she's just laughing. And he goes, well, I don't want to get hit in the face. He goes, so unless I get like a mask, right, to protect my face, he's like, we're not going to do Nerf battle.
Yeah.
And now, and my initial reaction was like, wuss, like, come on, let me shoot you in the face a couple times. You'll see it doesn't hurt that bad, right?
Yeah.
But then
yeah.
I was like, all right, like I gotta really chill out, man, and like just try to understand his situation better. I still don't get it, but I'm trying, you know. I stopped giving him a hard time about not wanting to have a Nerf battle. So
that's probably good, buddy.
it was not smooth. I don't know, I
probably would have been, it would have been the same conversation with Frankie, although he likes hurting me as much as possible. So I think you know.
Well, how bad is he hurting you?
The kid just likes, he punches me like every time he sees me now. Like that's just his where? Thing. Like I made the
okay, punch.
Look, I made the mistake of one time walking by him in the kitchen, and I just kind of gave him a little gut check, you know, like a little just like boop right in the stomach.
With my over?
No, I didn't knock him over or anything. I just gave him a little boom, and he wasn't ready for it, right? And so he was like, "Oh, Dad," and I was like, "Hey, life lesson, man. You always got to be ready for it." And I said that to him.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah. That was smart. That was real smart of me. Now I get every time he walks past me, boom, right in the stomach. Got to be ready for it, Dad.
You know what I mean? Like, so is he hitting you hard?
He hits me pretty good. I mean, you know how big he is. I mean, like,
yeah. I mean, he's a small man. Like,
yeah. So I mean, if I don't catch it, if I don't like see it coming, you know, and I don't have the chance to tense up, he's got me pretty good a couple times where I'm like, oh, you know what I mean? Like he's a, yeah. So I made that mistake. But yeah, I mean, I think he'd be in for a battle. You know what I mean? I think he would be like one of the first to line up to try and shoot me in the face as much as he could.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, I like the fact that Bubs is like, maybe he's not anti-gun, but at least he's like, we're a responsible gun owner. No pointing at people. No shooting downrange. Or only downrange, I mean. Only shooting downrange. I don't know.
You know, I'm trying not to be like one of those parents where it's just like, you try to put all your shit on your kid, you know? I don't know, man.
Have you ever shot guns or do you not shoot guns at all?
I'm not a gun guy because I had a really, really bad experience when I was young for me, it was traumatic. But my brother and I, my dad had this BB gun, right?
Yeah.
Did I tell you a story about the BB gun and the cops?
No.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So I was like,
I wish I had the Bad Boys song on my thing now.
Right.
Bad Boys, Bad Boys.
You can sing it. I can't remember how old I was. I was like maybe like between 12 and 14, something like that. And like my dad had this BB gun. You ever see those BB guns where like it looks like kind of like a shotgun, right? But you gotta, instead of like pumping it, you like the arm pulls out and you gotta pump it with air, right?
Yep.
So he would pump it like, you know, 10, 15 times and he was shooting like cardboard cutouts of some dude, you know, I forget who it was. It's probably like, you know, I don't know. So, so he's shooting in the backyard. We had Target and stuff. And like it was fine. And then my dad left the gun. Normally he hid it away, but this one time he left the gun out, right? And it was next to the fireplace. Okay.
Yeah.
And it was just my brother and me at home because, you know, that's how it was at the time. And we're watching TV and like I slowly like look to the right and I notice this gun sitting there. And I look at my brother. I'm like, you see what dad left out?
Oh,
he's like, yeah. He's like, we should shoot it. I'm like, we should definitely shoot it. Right. So in the house we had at the time, there was a balcony on the second floor, like a little deck, you know?
Yeah.
So they built it over the top of the garage, right? So so we go up there and we start pumping it and like we shoot a tree, and then my brother tries to shoot at a rabbit and misses, you know, and it's my turn, and I want to impress my brother, you know, and I'm pumping the fucking thing. And my dad because he was in the photography industry, he just happened to have a really high powered scope on this BB gun. Right?
Yeah.
It looked like it felt like a sniper rifle, you know. And I'm pumping it, and I'm pumping it, and I'm pumping it, and I pumped it so long that I had to like lay it on the ground and push the thing down.
Oh my god,
it was aggressive. So I noticed that my neighbor's house has a weather vane on the top of the house, right, which is like kind of eye level to where we were at. And I was like, I should pop that weather vane and maybe it'll spin like in the old Western movie.
Yeah. You know,
like where the guy hits it with a gun. I'm like, this is going to be cool. Right. Yeah. So I line it up in the scope, you know, and I got the gun going and I think I've got the perfect shot to where to hit it. And I pop it. Right. And I see the BB gun leave the rifle.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, before it hits the thing, it kind of hooks up and to the right a little bit, misses it. Flies past that neighbor's house, and all of a sudden I see a window and it completely turns white. Okay. Shatters. It was the house after that house. I had hit a thermal pane sliding glass door on my neighbor's house, but the neighbor beyond that. And it completely shattered. Right?
Yeah.
Well, I freaked the fuck out. I was like, Mike, we gotta go. Right? We're leaving here. Like, the cops are going to be coming. I know it. We got to go. Right? So we get on our bikes. Wait,
you're leaving your own house?
Yeah. Also, because I'm afraid the cops are coming. Right? So, which they did come. But so what happened was, so we get on our bikes and we lived where we were living. It was kind of like an area that was slowly being transformed from farmland houses to suburban houses, right?
So
the houses, each house was on like an acre lot, and the whole street was like a half mile long, right? So we drive all the way, we ride bikes all the way down the street, we go to the next street, right? And we're like, let's come back along the next street, try to, you know, just stay away from the crime. We could be like, hey, we just got home. What are you talking about, right? So we're basically behind our house, but on the next street, and the cops are there, okay? There's like two cop cars. They're standing outside talking to the parents. And this is so behind us, there was these neighbors called, they were the PCs. And the PCs had built a half pipe skate ramp and bike.
Oh, wow. It was
gigantic. Okay. And he was really good at riding his bike on there. And he had buddies who rode skateboards on there. And like, I would go over there and watch him occasionally. Right. So the cops were at the PCs. Right. And they're like, hey, you guys got a gun or a BB gun or something like that? And they're, you know, and I'm like, oh, fuck. So we ride bikes home. Right. We're like, maybe they're not going to know it's us. Right. Well, turns out the cops went to the PCs because the neighbor said some kid shot out his window and he thought it was the PCs because they're these punk ass bike and skateboard kids. Right.
Yeah. Getting the bad rap.
And this neighbor was an asshole. So he would complain to the kids about those kids all the time to the cops, right?
Yeah.
You know? So the pieces are like used to having the cops over, and he was like, fuck you, copper, fuck him. He's like, we don't have a gun, but they do, and he points at our house, right?
Oh, dimed you out.
Yep, dude. So Mike and I get home, you know, and we're sitting there, and the doorbell rings, and we're like hiding in our bedrooms, and he's like, well, one of us has to answer the door. I'm like, well, no, we should not answer the door. Just hide in the house. Like, we're not answering that door. He's like, I'm answering the door, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, fuck. So he gets to the door, and the police are like, are your parents home? And he's like, no. He's like, do you guys have any guns in the house or any BB rifles in the house or anything like that? And my brother's like, yeah. And they're like, well, who else is in the house? He's like, my older brother is. You want to talk to him? And the police are like, yeah, we'd love to talk to him. Yeah. So my brother's like, hey, Luke, it's for you. Cops are at the door.
You're like, fucking Mike.
Fucking piece of shit. Like, why would you do this to me, man? Like, you fucking rat me out to the cops. You're my own brother. Like, fuck. So I go to the cops, and the cops give me this fucking horrible guilt trip. They're like, do you have a gun? And I'm like, we shouldn't be talking unless my parents are home. And he's like, you need to talk to us. Otherwise, you're going to get into a lot of trouble. I'm like, oh, I don't want to get into a lot of trouble. I know what cop trouble's like. So the cops end up, they're like, they take the gun, right? And then they say, as soon as your parents get home, they have to call us, right?
Yeah.
So like I sat there fucking dreading it. And my dad, my mom come home and I'm like, I told him what happened and dad called the police station. My ultimately, I had to pay for the neighbor's window. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that coming.
Out of my own money. Yeah. And also I had to go with my dad to the police station to pick up the rifle. And the police had to give me their speech on gun safety and like all this other shit and how stupid I was. Dude, I felt horrible the whole fucking time.
How old were you at this
time? I don't know, man. Like between 12 and 14. I didn't know. BMX bike time. You know, that's
no, I know. But you were, it wasn't elementary school. You were actually like in like close to high school age, something like that.
Yeah.
Got you.
I don't think I was in high school yet, but, and then my brother's like 4 years younger than me. So, you know, so like,
oh yeah, we have a gun. My older brother right upstairs. I was like, oh dude, yeah. He would have caught a beating. He would have caught a beating after that, bro.
Oh, dude, I knew if I beat him for that, my parents would double beat me, you know?
Yeah. Oh,
so
man.
It was scary. So, yeah, so in general, right, like my opinion since then has been like, I just don't understand why people are so fucking excited about guns because all they do is get me into trouble. So, and like, you know.
Shoot your eye out, kid.
Yeah, you're. I don't know, man. I thought I was trying to be fucking cool, shoot the weather vane, and
what's the chances of that, dude? Like, jeez, man, that was unlucky. Unlucky. I mean, you must have pumped the shit out of that thing, dude. If it fucking flew that far, BBs don't fly that far typically. For it to have the velocity to fly past the other house and then still have enough to crack that window, Jesus,
dude,
bro,
I was. Trying, like, I had the gun on the ground and I would push the thing down and I would put my knee on it and do all my weight. And it like snapped into position, dude. Like,
that last one was like really hard, right?
I'm bouncing on it, you know, trying to get it to shut. And it had some insane velocity coming out of there. But like, you know, that was the time back then, man. Like, you know, I remember shooting Roman candles at my brother, you know.
Being the older brother too, like I was the younger brother, so I have the opposite. I have the opposite memories growing up. I was always your brother getting, you know, having Roman candles shot at them and, you know, all these other things, you know what I mean, from my older brother. So that's just funny. That is too funny.
I mean, I always got into trouble and I always got the speech of like, you're older, you should know better, you know? And like, I've given that speech to Ellie too. I changed it up a little bit. You know, I said, you know, she did some stupid ass shit and she's like, well, why am I getting in trouble? And Bubs isn't. And I'm like, well, Bubs is 7. Do you want me to compare you to a 7-year-old?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, you're 9. I'm like, if you want, I'll treat you like a 7-year-old. I go, but I happen to treat you like a 9-year-old. She's like, ugh. Fucking logic. Logic
wins again.
I don't know. With us, we always try. I try always working some logic in there. I know that appeals to Jackie, logic, you know. But like when I was young, man, fucking fuck you because I said so was the answer, you know. I don't know if there was ever any consideration for logic. It was just this is what I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I try so hard not to be that I told you because I said so, Dad. You know, I do my best, dude, but sometimes it's just the answer is just easier. The easiest answer is just because I told you so, because I said so. And it's such a horrible answer. It's like a horrible cop out, but sometimes you just don't have the time or the energy to go into it. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah.
I've had that with Bubs a lot lately. He'll be like, why can't I watch my iPad? I'm like, because I said so. I'm like, if you want a more specific reason, I'll give you one, but I said so should be enough. He's like, well, I want to know. And then I'll tell him the reason. He's like, ugh.
Yeah. I don't like being the because I said so guy. You know what I mean? Because I like to have it. And normally I do have a reason, but every once in a while I get so frustrated or I'm just tired and I'm just.
Yeah, I'm just exhausted. I'm like, don't make me come up with a reason. It's because I said so. Like,
yeah, it's because I want to be. It's like you think back to the times when like it was like when, you know, it was like kids don't speak until, you know, unless they're spoken to. Like those times, as harsh as they were, sometimes like it's like you hear the think back, you're like, ah, oh, that must have been a wonderful time. Quiet household.
You know, right?
Like there's certain things like that you go back to and you're just like, they kind of had it figured out a long time ago. We've kind of gone backwards in some aspects. So funny. You know, so horrible and funny.
Spanking kids isn't okay. You know?
I'm not saying that.
I'm telling you, it worked on me. Oh, you know? Dude, well, yeah. I feel like when I want to threaten my children, right? That like I have no real like trump card. You know, like yeah, with Ellie, you know, I'm like, I'll take away your iPad for a week. And she's like, okay. I'm like, no play dates for a week. She's like, okay. I'm like, it doesn't, I started having trying to come up with more creative punishments for them, right?
Yeah.
And so I was, because we thought, like, my daughter, I thought she might have bullied a kid, right?
Oh.
But it turns out the kid was just like being emotional, overreacting, you know?
Yeah.
And basically what happened was she apparently she takes this girl's water bottle every day. She's been doing it for like 2 years at lunch, you know, and it's like a cute little game they play, right? So
yeah.
So this one day, she, I don't know, pulling her friend is a cute little game she plays, you know.
It's not bullying if it's like a friendly thing, you're between friends. It's just funny.
Yeah. But yeah, so like what happened was is a girl had said that my Ellie had taken a water bottle and threw it against the ground and broke it, and the water bottle was special for her.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, you know, and we're like, well, that's some bullshit. Like, you know, she's never thrown anything in anger. Like Bubs will fucking throw a glass vase in anger, you know, like he'll break anything.
Yeah.
So, but Ellie's never done that. So like Jackie was like, well, you know, I'm going to talk to her about it. And if she did this and, you know, depending on how she reacts, like we're going to need to punish her. And like, this is a more severe thing. We need to come up with more severe punishment.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Before I get into the punishments, I'll tell you, she didn't do it. Right. What happened was that she dropped it and she didn't know she broke it. And like, cause when Jackie asked her about it, she genuinely like, you know, when your kids are lying, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And she genuinely was surprised. Like it broke. Like, what are you talking about? Like,
yeah.
Oh, she was upset about it? Like, what do you mean? You know, she didn't know. And, like, we still made her go over and apologize, which was...
Did you still have the conversation with her about, like, just because you didn't understand that she was upset doesn't mean it doesn't...
I don't know. I was out of town, man.
Oh, you were out of town.
I was out of town. But I did have a conversation with her where I kind of, like, you know, it was like, how's it going? You know, and, you know, cause I was like in between meetings and she started messaging me on her iPad and I'm like, well, let's FaceTime real quick. Cause this is the only time I got. And like, when I talked to her, I kind of got her into the conversation. I'm like, how's it going? How was school? What's going on with your friends? You know? And she's like, well, you know, this one girl hates me because, you know, she thinks I broke her thing. And she's, I didn't know that. And like, I could tell, like, she really was annoyed by the whole thing. And then she's like, oh, I don't really love hanging out with her all that much anyways, because she's hanging out with this other girl and the other girl is giving her dirty thoughts. And I'm like, what do you mean? What kind of dirty thoughts? She's like, I don't know. She's like, when I talked to her about it, she said she gave her dirty thoughts and she didn't explain what that meant. Right?
Yeah. And I'm assuming this is the classic case of not understanding the right term to use for what she's trying to say.
Yeah. That old chestnut, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that girl that she's talking about that girl is real wild and she's got an older sister, you know? So,
yeah.
I mean, like, I'm glad my daughter doesn't want to hang out with her all that often, but this other girl does. And Ellie's just like, fuck that. This is stupid. Like, I'm not getting into that bullshit. You know,
dude, we're going through the same thing right now. I mean, Penny just had her first like girl problem with one of the girls in her class. Like, we're at that age with them. Like, they're now going through that. You know what I mean? Penny's avoided that all through elementary school, but she now lost her first friend. Like, that one is one of her besties, and now they're on the outs. You know what I mean?
They'll be
and
besties again in a fucking week. It's ridiculous.
I know, but it's just weird. It's like in my and I don't know where my daughter gets it. She's so well emotionally like put in her world. She told me she came home. I didn't even know about it. She came home and she's like, Dad, I was so upset about it. I didn't want to talk to anybody. So I wrote down my feelings. She went and journaled her feelings and stuff. I'm like, where did you come from? Like, I punch walls, bro. That's who I am. Like, my hand still hurts from when I get punched the wall, you know, a few weeks ago for me getting mad. So, I mean, like, I don't know how she got so well adjusted emotionally, but like, it's just strange. But yeah, we're at that age with our kids, man. With our daughters, anyways, they're going through that.
Dude, Ellie does some journaling. Like, I bought her a locking journal, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I've thought about looking in there, but I'm afraid that I'll find out that she's journaling and plotting, you know? Because, like, yeah. You know, I always do this, like, I got this Villains Manifesto poster behind me, right?
Yeah.
And I joke around with the kids because they think it's funny. And on here, it's one of the things in the manifesto is make them pay. Always make them pay. And, like, we're at the school bus where they're getting on the bus, and everyone's like, sweetie, have a nice day. And I'm like, make them pay. You know, my kids are like, okay, Dad. You know, so, like, I don't know. You think, like, you fucking know what you're doing with kids, and you don't. Like, if you, like, and if you do, you're boring. So,
yeah, man. I mean, we're in the thick of it, bro. We're not even in the thick of it. We're in the beginning of it. We're in the beginning stages of what it's going to be. And it's just fun that we're both in it together, though. I love that.
Do you want to hear the so I started texting Jackie new punishment ideas.
Yeah. Sorry.
I didn't get it. You know, these are serious punishments. These aren't joke punishments. Okay.
No, I got it. Yeah.
All right. So one of the punishments I said was she has to triple her violin practice, right? So instead of doing it for 10 minutes, she has to do it for 30 minutes a night, right?
Time out. How many of these are actual punishments for you?
Well, that's my concern, right? It's like, I don't want to punish myself. Like we originally talked about, like, well, hey, what if we ground her for 3 days? And I'm like, but that's the weekend. Like, I don't want to have to fucking, like, watch her while she fucked up. Like, the last time we tried grounding her, she said, oh, good, we can do this as daddy-daughter time. And I'm like, no. Like, just because you can't hang with your friends and watch TV doesn't mean it's going to be special time for you and me. Like, you're fucking punished. Like, no. So, okay, so the violin thing, okay. The next one, you know, she eats school lunches every day, right?
Yeah.
So what if we give her shitty lunches for a week?
Like, you right? get to make her lunch instead of she gets to
eat. Like, I'm just going to give her a lunch I know she's going to think it's disgusting, right? Like, hey, today you're getting tuna salad on tomatoes, right?
Tomorrow's sardines and crackers.
Right, exactly. You know, like, you know, like, you know, 4-alarm chili. You know, like, here you go. You know, or I'll give her some White Castles because, you know, maybe we'll see that, you know, I don't know. So I said shitty lunches for a week, right? Then I said, what if we have her write a paper, like a 3-page paper on how she feels?
How bougie do you sound that right now? We're going to give our daughter fucking shitty lunches for a week. That's so bougie, bro. I'm sorry. I had to stop and think about it for a second. I'm like,
I don't know what else to do, man. And I'm bougie. I'm okay with that. I'm a bougie motherfucker. I like that shit. I work hard.
Hey, first world problems. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Anyways. I'm actually thinking about buying this gigantic gaming desk for my office right now. You know, fucking gonna go for it. Yeah. Then I said writing a paper, right?
Yeah.
You know, I thought maybe that might be nice. Then I thought finding her money. Because she always talks shit about how much money she has.
Like, right? Looking, like, searching for her money? Like, she had,
no, like, telling her, you got to pay me $100 because you fucked up.
Oh, finding her. Yeah. I thought you said finding.
Yeah, and if she doesn't have the money, then I would make her work for it, right?
I don't hate that idea.
Yeah. Hit and her then where I said, she hurt. Yeah, exactly. You got to pick her. It's got to be uncomfortable. Otherwise, you're not proving your point. Then I thought, like, well, maybe, you know, she always does her homework at school, right? Like, force her to do her homework at home, right?
Mm.
And then my last one is that she had to take out all the garbage and recycling for a week, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, some of those are creative. I like some of them.
I didn't know what else to do because, like, the normal shit of, like, take your iPad away or take your friends away, she's like, good luck, Dad.
Yeah.
You want to come at me? You're going to have to come at me harder than that.
Well, and then, you know, the extra violence.
She would learn that behavior.
Yeah. And then the extra violin and stuff is actually like more like punishments for you guys. I mean, you got to sit there and listen to her practice for a half hour.
Oh, if I put my headphones on, I can't hear that shit. It's great.
Oh, okay. Well, then there you go. You're probably down there gaming anyways. Oh, maybe punish her from watching you play your video games. I know how much she loves that.
Man, you know, I don't know, but then I got to watch her. Like, I didn't want to, like, punish myself. It's tricky, you know?
It's a fine line.
You know, because, like, I don't want to be, like, a prison guard, right? Like,
no.
It's to all the prison guards that listen to the podcast, I'm sorry for saying that about your career choice, but that's just not for me. I know we got a lot of prison guards.
Say, any parent has a little prison guard in them. You know what I mean? You got a little, you had that something in you that was, like, willing to put yourself in that position. Glutton for punishment.
Like, my parents, like, how would your parents punish you when you're grown up?
I mean, dude, my dad had a stick above the bedroom door, as a reminder not to fuck up.
Yeah.
But, we'd get punished. I mean, we'd get grounded. You know what I mean? Like, we'd lose our, you know, there was no electronics, like, at that time, obviously. So, like, my dad took my skateboard away from me at one point because I used to leave I was famous for just riding. We had, like, this, our front door. We had like a long kind of walkway up to our front door as a kid, mm-hmm. you know? And then we had these steps that walked, you know, these three steps and then like a brick little entryway. And then you went in the house. Right. So, like, I was famous for riding my skateboard up right up to the first step and just stepping off of it and walking in the house and going in and leaving my skateboard there. My dad would, you know, tell me all the time about, like, you leave your damn skateboard, you know, whatever. Da, da, da. And so one time he took it and hid it from me. You know what I mean? And he's like, yeah, somebody must have stole your skateboard. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the way my dad would punish me. My bike went missing one time. My skateboard was gone. You know what I mean? Like, those types of ways, like, hit him where it really hurts. You know what I mean? Like, take away things that he loves. Yeah.
That's it was spanking, and then when that stopped working, then it was mostly like, you're grounded or you got to stay in your room, you know?
Yeah.
Which maybe like you stay in your room, but you can't listen to music. Cause, you know, back then I didn't, you know, no one had TVs in their room, you know, I had a radio, you know, and they're like, no music. I'm like, cool. I'm just going to stare at the fucking ceiling then, you know? Cause, like, I was past toys at that point, you know? So it wasn't like,
playing with toys. Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever, do the whole thing where you in anger you would blare music out of your room, like if there was something like your parents didn't like and you knew that they didn't like it necessarily?
No, but it's probably because the type of music I was into would not really, like, it wouldn't be like, you know, ragey raw music. It'd be like, you know, like, you know,
were you listening to a lot of Peter, Paul, and Mary back then?
Like Paul Simon at full blast. Like, you know.
A catacomb.
The songs of his shoes. We met, you
know, like, oh, Mrs. Robinson, tell me.
Like, my parents would be like, oh, cool. This is good.
Dude, I got a hold of this, like, because my parents were like, you know, music was always a big deal in our house, you know, and I tend to listen to, like, most of the stuff my parents listened to, obviously, as a kid. That's how you start. But luckily my parents had pretty good taste in music. At least I thought they did. But I got a hold of my first like Metallica tape from my neighbor across the street. And my dad hated like heavy, like he didn't hate heavy metal, but he used to say like, you know, if I can't understand the words, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want you listening to it. This is like back when we were young, you know, and I would blare this Metallica tape when I get mad. I'd go in my room, I'd turn it on, and I'd play it as loud as I could, you know, on my little stereo as my little defiance, you know, and like, I just thought that, you know, eventually my dad took my Metallica tape. He got rid of it, but I wasn't allowed to have it. But yeah, I can clearly remember times like going in there and just being like, I was such a teenager little girl, you know what I mean? Like go in there, slam my door, you know, blare my music.
In my punishment days, I think that the tape that I had in my tape player was the soundtrack from the movie Cocktail.
Ooh, great movie.
It was great. You know,
yeah,
and the soundtrack was Kokomo. Awesome.
Kokomo,
wait up in Kokomo. What's the fuck's he doing in there? He sounds pissed. Wait up
in Kokomo, Aruba, Jamaica. Ooh, I wanna take it to Bermuda, Bahama.
God, wow, pretty wow. He's really raging in there. You know, he's raging. Down to Kokomo. We'll get there fast, and I will take it now.
Wow, Luke's raging in there. Mike must have been really scared of you.
Oh, yeah, I was really scared the shit out of everybody. Like, oh my god, we need to fucking do something about this. Like,
speaking of music, we're talking about music. I got a new jam for you, bro. I'm not sure how the fuck they did
it, but they did it. What the hell is this?
Shut up!
The only way to make it better, dude, is to add Biggie to it.
Did you find a remix for Taste the Biscuits?
Lee passed this on to me, or passed it on to the group. I don't know if I somehow I saw it, and I was like, oh, I gotta get this for the pod. Yeah.
That's fucking good.
Listen.
Oh shit! Put a biscuit in my mouth and nothing else can knock you. The goodness of the biscuit got me bitten. Where the fuck did these lyrics come from?
This is all AI generated, dude. I guarantee it. They probably just used AI to create it. You know what I mean? Somebody was like, I'm not sure how the fuck they did it, but they did it. Yeah, they did. It is crazy. The goodness is inherent.
So fucking good.
I miss Biggie.
Oh my god, it's so.
Keep the shit off my chicken.
Yes! Where have you been hiding the shit at?
On the biscuit where it stays, the honey sauce don't play. I love it when you call me Big Pop. Put a biscuit in my mouth and nothing else can knock ya. The goodness of
my God. But keep the honey sauce away from all my chicken wings. You know, our patrons are like the unofficial producers of our podcast.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I can't wait for them to hear good. That. It's so good. Like, I want to listen to it again.
He sent it to you, and he didn't send it to me, right?
I don't remember if he sent it directly to me or if he actually put it in the thread, and it kind of just kind of went unnoticed. But I got it,
now it's part of our life.
Yeah, I was like, this is definitely going to be on our pod from now on. Like,
is there a remix of Bubbles and Vibes yet?
I haven't heard a remix of Bubble and Vibes yet, but so good, though. I've had it for a couple weeks, like 2 weeks now, but obviously we missed last week, so I've just been dying to I have another song. I couldn't get it done yet, but David Miller sent me another song for the pod. Maybe get it up next week.
That's what she said.
I'm not gonna put it on, but yeah, man, I printed my first helmet, my first Mando helmet, which is pretty dope.
Dude, I thought you looked a little bit like Shrek.
I told Debbie, I said, this helmet is definitely not attractive. Like, it's not, it doesn't look good on me. It's because it's missing the visor. I think once you put the visor in it, it makes it look cool. You know what I mean? But, like, until you have the visor in it, it looks like a Spartan
snug,
helmet.
Bro. It looks snug. Yeah. I was impressed you could print a helmet on the printer and it would fit your head. Like, that really got me.
Yeah, it slid right on. It slid right on.
How long did it take to print?
17 hours.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Get it, Biggie. Put your biscuit in my mouth.
Somebody trained a fucking AI to rap and sound like Biggie Smalls, and then immediately was like, okay, remix Taste of Biscuits.
The like, best song ever, right? So they were like, well, how can we make this song better? And like I said, the only way is to add Biggie to it. I mean, it was just like,
I respect that. You know, I mean, look, matter. This is the world we're living in, man. Fucking Beyonce's doing country songs. Biggie is coming back from the dead to do fucking covers of Taste of Biscuits. Like, this is our lives, man. This is where we're at.
It's the best time to live, best time ever to live right now. You know what I mean? Best time ever.
I mean, I don't know, man. The 80s were legit. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
They were legit for some people. The 80s sucked for a lot of people, bro. Well, like, true. if you're a white, young, white Republican American, yeah, the 80s were awesome. Yeah. Other than that, pretty much sucked.
I like the music and the movies and
No, you're right. In those areas, in that aspect.
The pop culture part of it was great.
Pop culture was good, yeah. They had AIDS and fucking other. What was that line Hot Tub Time Machine? Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, I do remember that movie. I don't remember what line you're talking about though.
So this is AIDS. We had Reagan and AIDS or something. What did he say? We had AIDS and crack or something. I forget exactly. This era, this time sucked. We got to get the hell out of here. Yeah, it's so funny. Oh, but anyways,
man,
I don't know if we can go anywhere else after that.
I mean,
I kind of killed it with that song. It's just such a good song.
I'm going to be thinking it's going to live rent free in my head for at least a week. Yeah, I mean, there's no fucking way.
Yeah, so good, good.
I'm just happy. I'm just so happy. I'm fucking home after this week trip. You know, it was a great trip, but it was long. You know.
Did was it just a sales type of thing or got it.
Yeah, it was just a sales trip, you know, and three of us went and we drove the whole time. My buddy fucking found this car company that apparently is a company that's been around for a few years. He rented a BMW X5 with unlimited mileage for $50 a day.
Wow. That's right? A great deal. Yeah. It's a really good deal.
It was very comfortable. So I don't know. We finally got my car back from the shop, and I can't even tell. Like my last vehicle was the Jeep Grand Cherokee. It was 2013, right? And I thought that thing, I regretted buying that from the day I bought it until the day we paid it off. And after the day we paid it off, I was like, I love this fucking thing, right?
Yeah.
No car payment. Let's fucking go. So when Jackie got into a little bumper bender with the dude, you know, our bougie ass Volvo was in the shop for almost a month, and they had me driving what I was convinced was some dude's personal vehicle. Did I tell you about this Ford Explorer they had me driving?
No.
Right? So like I love my wife, right? And but sometimes like I think she forgets that she's cute and like people do nice shit for her. Right.
Yeah.
You know, so like she went to go rent the fucking car And she said that, yeah, the guy was like, how about this one? How about that one? How about this one? This is Enterprise Rent-A-Car, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she shows up at the house in a black-on-black Ford Explorer. And I'm guessing it was like a 2019, and it had like 46,000 miles on it, and the check engine light was on. And it had, you know, like those traveling salespeople who put like the clothing rack and they hang it on the handlebars over the back seat, you know?
Yeah.
Those things, right? And the leather seats were definitely oiled and conditioned, right? You know, like when you see those seats, they're like almost slippery, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, I looked at this thing and I looked at her and I was like, this is the car Enterprise Rent-A-Car gave you? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, she's like, what? I'm like, I think this is some dude's car. It vaguely smelled like cigarettes, you know? You know, like somebody had been smoking in it, but they had the window open, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, I think this did the Enterprise guy give you his car? And like, he went and took another rent-a-car? Like, what's going on here? You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
We got our car back on Thursday, and I decided I love my car now, so that's nice.
After driving the Ford Explorer for a week,
for a month,
yeah.
Dude, this thing was this is a piece of shit. So,
yeah,
what was Volvos?
What was wrong with the Volvo?
The front end was smashed.
Oh, what? I mean, the whole was it not drivable?
No, it was drivable, but the bumper was fucked up. Okay. And part of the hood was fucked up.
Oh, so they had to do like body work to it. That's why it was first.
Yeah, but dude, like,
got it.
The end bill for the amount of damage, like it was. I didn't think it was that much damage. And when I looked at it, I'm like, yeah, man, that's like, I bet you that's like $5,000 worth, it's $6,000 worth of damage, right?
Yeah,
that's fucking $12,000.
Whoa,
I'm like, that's like a quarter of the cost of the vehicle new. I'm like how many fucking parts did you have to replace?
Holy shit. What is that? Hood made of gold?
And the bumper came pre-painted. I'm like, Jesus. Like, you guys
I was hovering over the yay button because I thought it was going to be a low price. My hand flew back off that keyboard like you've never seen before.
Yeah, it was. You should hit the, you should have a nay button.
This is the best I can do for you.
You blew it! I don't know. Like at the car dealership, I was like, you know,
I should have this music going while you were telling me about this story. I mean, geez, that was depressing when it got to the end.
Yeah, it was depressing. $12,000, you know, and the insurance company only covered five of it at first. And, it was done for like a week. And they're like, well, the insurance company hasn't paid us the balance yet. I'm like, well, what if we want to pick it up? And you're like, sure, come pick it up. You just got to pay us the $8,000. And I was like, whoa, no. No,
it can stay there.
It's a cop car instead. I kept calling the rental a cop car, by the way.
I was going to say, I'll just keep driving Joe's Explorer
for
another couple weeks.
Yeah.
I mean,
when have you ever rented a car and the leather seats were oiled?
Yeah, that seems definitely like somebody's car.
You know?
You know what I mean? Man, that's
like,
a...
Like, some dude was trying to impress you. She's like, no. It was just the options. I'm like, Enterprise Rent-A-Car. I don't think they rented out fucking, you know, 5 year old cars with 40,000 plus miles on them, like with check engine lights on.
That smell like cigarettes.
Have oiled leather seats and a clothing rack in the back. You know,
that sounds like a salesman's car. That just like, you know what I mean? It's like, I gotta go on a sales trip.
Yeah,
long trips, smoke some cigarettes to stay awake. You know what I mean?
I didn't probably feel bad about smoking weed in that thing. I'll just be honest with you. So,
got to cover that smell. Got to cover that cigarette smell.
Yeah. Though the BMW that my buddy rented, that did smell like somebody had smoked a joint in it before he picked it up. So,
that's the scent I want in it. I hope there's can I get like, freshly hot boxed? Can I get freshly hot boxed as a scent?
That'd be awesome. Like if when you go and you rent a car and you can pick the scent and fresh hot boxing was an option.
Yeah, dude. California, that's one of our scents we offer here.
Sir, we're going to give you this old cop car for a week. Your choices for smell are cigarette, pineapple, new car, or fresh hot box. What would you like? I'm going to the hot box option. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Oh,
man. That's so funny.
Yeah, right? We encourage you to smoke weed in our cars. Go for it.
I went and did career week for the kids this week, and which was fun. You know, I did woodworking stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, you were making those trophies.
Well, that's separate. I did the trophies for a client for a poker tournament, but I did career week with the kids, and it was fun. I went, you know, did a little talk about. I talked about like sandpaper and like the history of sandpaper because I wanted something tactile that they could like hold. And then like, you know, they each got to like sand a little bit and, you know, mm-hmm. It was cool.
Did you bring some unfinished pieces in there that you're like, so you're going to need to do this for 30 minutes. Circular pattern. Come on, Susie. Do big enough circles there. Timmy, you're going back and forth. You need to go round circular pattern. Yeah, yes, that's right, Timmy.
I just brought like 30.
Did you see the bumble shoots?
30 cutting boards, and I sat them out on the table.
You took career day into child labor day.
Can I actually come back every day this week? I have a lot of things, so orders to fill.
Oh my God, that's fucking funny.
But yeah, so I did that and that was cool. But then afterwards the teachers had the kids like write me like thank you notes and stuff, which was really nice, you know. So Frankie on Friday came home with this thick ass folder full of notes from, because it was four classes, you know, so it was like 30, you know, 20 something kids in each class. Anyways, some of the notes were really funny though. And like you could tell the teacher had just like written like bullet points up on the board for them to like use as like, I really love the hammer that you brought, you know what I mean? Oh, the Thor hammer, you know, and like, oh, I really enjoy. So like each one was like kind of like the same, you know what I mean? Basically it had a few little variations here and there, but this one little girl's note was so funny. She wrote like, dear Mr. Conroy, I really enjoyed your woodworking, woodworking show is what they called it. You know what I mean? Your woodworking show. And I learned a lot about sandpaper. I really liked, my favorite part though, is when you pulled out your hammer. And then she wrote, I think I spelled hammer, right? And then she wrote it again. My favorite part, like, it was just funny. It was just, like, really cute the way she was self-editing as she was writing. You know what I mean? She was like, I really enjoyed it when you pulled out your hammer. I think I spelled hammer right. And I just thought it was really funny. And there was a couple, but my favorite one was this kid clearly, like, had no fucks to give, right? He wrote exactly what the teacher had written on the board. He said, hi, dear Mr. Conroy. I really enjoyed your woodworking show. My favorite part, and then he wrote, instead of it refilling it in, he actually drew the line, like the blank line. He drew it on the paper. My favorite part was blank. And then it said, this is the most interesting part was, and then he did it again, blank. And it was so, dude, it was just classic. You know? I'm like, this kid is my favorite. He just gives no fucks. He just copied it. And then he signed his name. Sincerely, Giovanni.
I mean, if I was a teacher, I'd be like, I'd look at that and I'd be like, yeah, ship it. It's
I loved it. I told him, I told Frank, I was like, bro, tell Hazel and Giovanni that they fucking made me laugh, dude. they killed it. It was just so funny, man. But yeah. Oh yeah. And the trophies turned out great, man. They're picking them up today. I'm excited to get them out of the shop. And, it was fun doing something different. You know, fucking had Trevor fucking messaging me this week. Oh man, it's so great to see you actually out there in garage working. Like doing work. Like he was like busting my balls. I was like, what a dick. I love you, Trevor.
Oh man. It's the problem, man. Woodworking content was so 2022. Nobody cares anymore about your wood.
I know.
Now you gotta be 3D printing.
I know. But yeah. Anywho.
I'm not sure how the fuck they did it, but they did it. Yeah, we should wrap this shit up.
Go for it. This is our new Biscuit song for this week. So,
yeah, baby. Let's talk about freshly baked biscuits. Thank you to our patrons, the fine ass biscuits. And we'll want to put all of you in his mouth all at once.
Oh, yeah.
All right. In order of your joining our patron group, I don't know if you guys are new, but Kyle Foote for the footwork, Woodworks. Matthew Girard for the wooden moustache, still giving free rides. Ooh. Lee. Oh man. The sex symbol, Big Combs for the broken woodworks. Tell the wife, tell them not to be so spicy. Dave, real great work from Rusty Joy. I almost said the Rusty Joy podcast. Come on, Elise Gelman, the guy who doesn't know he's a patron, Tim from Turnworks.
Nope.
Yep. Dave the Thriller Miller. He looks like he took a big roll of biscuit dough and stapled it to his face.
Biscuit beard.
Billy Estes from the Simple Wood. Simple Wood Would Go.
Yeah.
From Oxy CNC. The unofficial lube of the podcast, Eric from Bumble Shoots. Lynn from Desert Grain Woodworks. The Collingwood Canoe Company. Now build canoes. Stop asking. Grant from Dad Crafted. Ryder from Ryder's Custom Creations. Company from Van Stray Designs. The fine. Why is Jason Sullivan on this list? He told me he stopped being a patron. Maybe it just hasn't run out yet.
I don't know.
Maybe you'll check him out. He makes tool bags.
Jason. Tool bag Jason.
Cool back, Jason. TBJ. There you go.
TBJ.
The fine folks at BL Smith ripping that fine couple's content. Loving it. Otis from the OG Shop Something
Adventures. OG Shop Adventures.
Right. O'Healy from O'Healy Boots, Nick Grim Woodworking. Do you see those?
Dude, those things are sick.
I'm so, you know, look, I don't know what he does with his time normally, but that was an excellent use of his time.
Yeah. So cool.
Yeah, way to go. Judd from Nivens and Son. Your Apocalypse BFF. Justin from Campfire Woodworks. Tracy from Mac and Tracy Woodworks.
Does it make it any worse that I'm so into this AI Biggie? Like, you know, it's AI, but it's Biggie. So it's like, how do you, like, I'm so conflicted because I'm like, I want to be like, but then I'm like, it's not really Biggie, but it's, Anyway, sorry.
I'm still feeling it, man. Yeah. Ben from Weo Wood Design.
What's up, Ben?
Don from What's Next Woodworking. Malcolm at Bossa Nova Woodworks. Bro. The man, the myth, the legend, Keith from KJSawdust.com. I don't know if he has a website, but
go check it out.
When you think of sawdusty motherfuckers, he's not the one you should be thinking about. So, this young man, spry, snap whipper. Yeah, so there's our patron. Thank you guys so much. You guys are fucking awesome.
Yeah, thank you guys for being patrons of this fine podcast. We love you guys so much. And, you know, if you want to be a patron, there's a link at the bottom of every episode. Go down there and click it. You can choose how you want to support us. Guys, go out and share this podcast. Get it out there to the people. We'd love you if you can share it this week.
And if you don't want to become a patron, just message Ben Y. Like, we don't have so many listeners that, like, you know, you guys couldn't fucking make that happen. So, like, message Ben at Conda Rosa Creations. Rosa with a C. You know, message him and tell him why you're not a patron. style.
Dude, this is the jam. Thanks, Lee, for putting this in our life. All right, man, get us out of here. We love you.
Take it away, Jim. Taste the biscuits. Is that the one we're still doing? I spent a week on this.
Taste the biscuits.
Taste the biscuits.
This has been a Conman Creative production. Text us anytime at 908-768-2664 or send us a message on our Instagram, The Jointery Podcast. You can find Ben at Condorosa Creations or Luke at Luke in the Garage. Everywhere that social media is sold. That's garage, not garage. Say it properly.